Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman. Last week, I asked you to send your testimonies, if you have any, to either one of Facebook page, which is facebook.com/UgandanWatchman, or to our email address, which is UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. I just wanted to share some of these things happening in the lives of people for the purpose of encouraging people to move in the ways that we are talking about. So somebody did send me a testimony, and I'm going to read it. Good morning. From April 2013, I had a debate about tithing with a friend of mine for months. I'd just returned from studies abroad. I was in support of the school of thought that tithing was in the Old Testament and that the New Testament Christian isn't obliged to tithe. It was until September, after listening to your preaching about giving, where you emphasize that we do not tithe according to Malachi chapter 3, but according to Abraham, because we are all his descendants. I, however, didn't tithe right away because I felt I wasn't doing well financially. During this time, I would still struggle financially and my building project wasn't progressing at all. April 2014, I decided to start tithing. And it's amazing how the results have been. I now pay my tithe promptly off my gross salary. Ever since I started, I have not run out of cash and my house is almost complete. And I'm about to move in, and I recently bought a prime piece of land to start a school. To God be the glory. That's one of the testimonies that was sent to me via email, and I want to thank the person who sent it. Like I said, I don't give names because I didn't request to, but I just want to thank the person who sent it. And if anybody is out there who actually has something encouraging for the people, the listeners of this show, just go ahead and share it, even if it is private. Your name shall not be revealed if you so wish. Or if I really intend to reveal your name, I would have to ask for express permission from yourself, which, unless it is granted, I wouldn't do it out of respect for your privacy. Now, today we're continuing with our... But still on this subject, I just want to encourage... this morning at around 5 a.m., I was actually praying for the partners of this program, of the Watchman, of the ministry, for our partners, and I spent quite some time praying for them, and praying in tongues, and after some time, the Lord actually spoke to me and told me that today is the first day of October, and in the next 3 months there is going to be a period of stepping into an inheritance, a financial inheritance, stepping into an abundance. For our partners, that's what the Lord told me about our partners, because I was specifically praying for them. And so if you're one of our partners, wherever, just get excited about these coming 3 months, because they are going to be important in terms of you seeing a clear increase, stepping into an abundance that you've not known before, and it being a start of things to come. However, I just also want to encourage everybody to, the one thing that could stand, that usually stands in the way of such good gestures, is the lack of consistency. Because so many people hear something, they start out, you know, very enthusiastically, but somewhere along the way, they get, you know, driven off the path because they are not consistent enough. They don't keep it in mind. It's easy to start, but it's not easy for people to continue and hang in there until they see something happening. Now, that's why even so many people do not have experiences in the spirit. They do not see things. I mean, they do not walk a spiritual life, because the first time you try to believe God for something, you try to believe God for, let's say, for healing, and you ended up failing, and maybe eventually you took medicine. And the thing is that don't stop trying. I mean, keep on trying. Everything comes through trial, you know. You get it, you believe, you fail. This time you try again, until after some time it becomes a reality in your life. And when it happens the first time, the second time is easier, the third time is easier. And that's pretty how you build your faith and build everything in the spirit. And through consistency, I told you before that nobody becomes an expert in something by committing limited time to it. It's just that simple. I told you you cannot have a chiseled, muscled, and, you know, powerful body by going to the gym once a week. You have to commit yourself. If you really wanted that, if that's what you really wanted, you'd have to commit yourself to going to the gym frequently. I'm giving that as an example. If you wanted to have that kind of body, it does not come through a one-off or through getting excited. Somebody is, let's go to the gym, you go to the gym, you lift today, and then you take it a while without doing so. It does not achieve anything. And the funny thing is, just like spiritual things, you know, you see a hand that is small, okay, very small, but there are muscles in there only waiting to be exercised for them to come out. Now, there is nobody who gets an extra piece of flesh and puts it on their hand after they've gone to the gym. No, it was in there all along. The only thing that made it come out and look, that person looks strong with strong biceps and all, is because they went and worked it out. So that's how that's really the story of life. Everything has to be worked out, and it's right inside you. The faith is inside you. The consistency is inside you. You cannot become a prayer warrior by getting excited once and praying for 8 hours. Then you don't do it again for the next 2 or so weeks. You have to be, everything has to be done by a position of consistency. Now, I'm just trying to encourage all the, all our, you know, partners, even the people listening to this show, whatever else you're partnering or tithing or what, consistency is the key. Just make sure you do it all the time. Don't argue about it. Get it, do it, make it part of your lifestyle. The same way that you have to wake up in the morning and bathe, you don't complain about it because you have to do it, because you know you have to do it. You're not going to go to office when you're smelling. So you just do it. You don't complain about it. So in much the same way, you can get into the same practice of continually giving your offering, or rather your partnership seed, or give whatever it is you give it, or tithing, or doing all those things, or giving. So, and that's where the blessing is, in the consistency. Not in the one-off, not in emotional giving. Now, just to remind you, I told you that the Lord told me that today is the first day of October. The October, November, December are going to be very good months and the start of an increase that is going to be continuous for our partners. So that's something for you to be excited about. Now, last week I was speaking about the New World Order, and today I think should be the last message about the New World Order. But just to recoup some of the things we talked about last time, I was telling you about all the last couple of times. This conspiracy by top people in the world, led by especially by Masonic Europe. The origin of it is Masonic, from Freemasons. Freemasonry is Satanism. Those at the bottom of it might not know it, but I suspect they do, at least slightly. But then when you get to the top, all these secret organizations are the same. At the top, at the bottom, they are different in their operations, okay? Because Freemasons operate in a different way from Illuminati, from the Bilderbergs, from the Ku Klux Klan, from the Club of Rome, and from all these other secret organizations. But at the top of them, they are all led by the same person, and that's the devil. And all of them are pushing towards the devil's plan for this world, okay? So it's much the same way as, you know, you'd see a pastor and an apostle. Their operations, or let's say an evangelist and a pastor, their operations are different, but at the top, all of them are working for the same Holy Spirit, okay? And that's precisely how these things are. Now, the Illuminati are for the mass people. Freemasons don't go to everybody. They don't need to be part of everybody. But Illuminati is, that's why they use superstars, they use music stars, movie stars, and all sorts of people who have influence over people, because they try to recruit in masses. They are the ones behind the education and turning education into humanism, and you know, telling people that they are the ones who created the conflict between science and faith. But that conflict didn't exist before. People were good. Some of the best scientists of the yesteryears, who have done more than any of these scientists today, people like Isaac Newton, the people on whose foundation science built, we are all Christians, and many of them admitted that they got so many of those ideas from God, either in sleep You know, because God has always done things like that. He reveals somebody something to somebody and creates enough curiosity for that person to start searching it out. Now, some of the things that I tell you here were started through a process of the same process of curiosity that God puts something in your mind. And then when you're praying, sometimes when you're alert, but all sorts of ways, but he does enough to create curiosity so that you go and search on it. Sometimes I've had him speak in a dream. For instance, one time he told me in a dream, investigate the relationship between Germany, the European Kingdom monarchy, and the Vatican. He told me that in a dream. And the next day I started doing my investigations, and I started doing a lot of research, which of course you'll get to know the results of as time goes on. So this is how all these things work now. But the Illuminati are the ones who are responsible for, you know, making it look like anybody who is of faith, is in conflict with science, and science is in conflict with faith, and it's all a lie, okay? But they want to recruit people in universities, in colleges. I told you how the Humanist Manifesto was launched in 1933. And they said they are going to create a generation of humanists. And they said their biggest tool is going to be education, the teacher, and professionalism. Now, everybody who has gone to a certain level of professionalism, if they are still a person of faith, then it's because they had a foundation on which to build. But most of those things, you'll find professors. Somebody sent me a message saying their professor was at the university here in Makerere was telling them that, you know, they have seen all the galaxies in the space and there is no heaven. So where is heaven? And of course, that's a stupid thing for anybody to say, but that's how education has been tailored. I mean, that's how it's just like asking me that. I mean, I see people walking, where are angels? I mean, that's a different realm. Heaven exists in a different realm from the sight, from what you can see through it, a binoculars or a telescope or something like that. Anyhow, so these people are the same. Now, one of the things they are planning back now down, so I told you they've influenced education, they've influenced science, okay, and they are trying to reach people through all sorts of ways. First of all, to create humanism, which is the belief in human beings minus God. Then after that, they will introduce it, like I told you, they've already spoken before. After humanism, the next thing is to introduce, using the words of Albert Pike, who was the foremost apostle of the devil, who lived in the 19th century. After introducing humanism, they will then use people who claim they don't believe in God. That's a proper platform for them to introduce, according to him, the true doctrine of Lucifer. So that eventually, the devil does not just want people not to believe in God. He wants people to worship him. That is just a step towards the other. So every time you see somebody saying, I'm an atheist, he's just fallen into a trap. Because, I mean, these people, 1933, Humanist Manifesto 1. 1973, they introduced Humanist Manifesto 2. And they said now the next decades are going to be about humanism. And there are people who are Satanists who have been sent to do these things. So you might think, and of course they have all sorts of arguments to present them to you, and you believe that you are the one who came up with that. Yet actually, you're just repeating what somebody originated, and you're just parroting it in actual sense. All the arguments you hear people talking about, you know, I cannot tell people whom to fall in love with, you know, human rights, all those things, you know, Obama activist and all that. It's nothing new. You go everywhere. Somebody sat down and created those lines and passed them on to them. And those people are repeating them, are just regurgitating them. And they actually, those people are so clever because they will make you believe that you originated it. Yet you didn't. Because somebody whom you've never met in another part of the world is using the same argument, and he also thinks he originated it. But because they are calculated to play on people's minds and to create sympathy and all that, I promise to tell you a bit about emotional and intellectual decisions. But let me first go through this. Now, one of the things these people are planning is population control. Now, some of the things I'm going to tell you here are shocking, that they might sound like one of the biggest conspiracy theories. But in reality, they are actually conspiracies. But in reality, they are, I mean, true and very far gone in, you know, accomplishment. In terms of being accomplished. Now, one of the biggest things these people believe, I told you this before, is they have to reduce the population of the world drastically. because they are saying there are so many useless eaters, people who are not adding value and who are eating from the resources of the earth. Those would be people like you and me, because that's what they think of us generally. Okay. Now I'm going to give you some of the quotes here from top people who are in control of this world to let you know how they think, because the mouth is a clear way of knowing how people think. Now, in 1948, UNESCO president Sir Julian Huxley called for the radical eugenic policy in UNESCO. Now, eugenics is, according to a dictionary, is an idea that society can be improved by allowing people to become parents only if they are likely to produce children who are healthy and intelligent. In other words, you controlled breeding in the same way that you breed cows. And if you see a sickly cow, okay, or a cow which has bad genes, you make sure it does not produce after its kind. Then when you get a proper good bull which is of good genes, then you make sure it mates with, you know, the cows, and then you get something like that, the way it's done with animals. Now they want to do it with human beings, and that's the most important thing. Now in 1948, these things all started in 1948. Why? Because that's when the end times really began. That's when Israel was born, and that's why so many things pointing towards the end of the age started actually building. The human rights, the interchurches, whatever coalition, that's the line with Alice Bailey, published her infamous book, The Plan, in which she outlined ways to get rid of Judeo-Christian values and turn society upside down, totally turn it upside down on its head. So in 1948, this man in a UNESCO publication, it was called Its Purpose and Its Philosophy, he states that even though it is quite true that any radical eugenic policy of controlled human breeding will be for many years politically and psychologically impossible, it will be important for UNESCO to see that the eugenic problem is examined with the greatest care, and that the public mind is informed of issues at stake. That much that is now unthinkable may at least become thinkable. You see, they take their time. They don't introduce it first. They say, first of all, it's unthinkable now. That's the position from which we stand. But what we want is to get us to a point where people can actually consider it as a proper way. But that was 1948. So many things have happened since. That's about this, not too long from that, Theodore Roosevelt, who was the president of the United States, said, society has no business, I'm quoting, society has no business to permit degenerates to produce their own kind. Degenerates, by the way, mostly means blacks. Okay. Now, the biggest population explosion is in Africa. You look at a country like Uganda, 75% of the people are below 25 years. Now, if they let it go like that, this is what they are worried about. Because from history, civilizations have been brought down through population. The Roman Empire came down like that. One part of society decides to produce until eventually they outnumber everybody. Is that new? No, it isn't. It's in the Bible. That's what happened with the Hebrews when they were in Egypt, until Pharaoh said, these people are multiplying too fast. We have to do something about them, because if we get into war and they go with the enemy, then we are destroyed. So what did Pharaoh do? He told the midwives to start killing all boys at birth. The midwives, of course, did not do that. But so what, and that's all the devil's plan. And you see all these things. I told you before how everything that the Pharaoh did or said was representative of the devil, in much the same way that everything that Moses said through Aaron was representative of God, like the word of God. Now, so this is nothing new. The devil trying to cut out a certain part of people to stop them from growing too much. Now, this is precisely what these people are trying to do. So degenerates would be people like you and me in the minds of those people. Of course, there's nothing degenerate about me or you, I suppose, but that's what they think of us. Eh? And Dr. Anne Schultz, who is the Wildlife Fund Director of Conservation, who was, at the time that he was, in 1984, said that the third world is overpopulated, it's an economic mess, and there is no way they could get out of it with this fast-growing population. Our philosophy is back to the village. You know what back to the village means. Now, a man called Ted Turner, who is actually the owner of CNN, in a magazine called Audubon Magazine, said that a total population of 250 million people, that is 95% decline from present levels, would be ideal. So what would happen if the current population is 7 billion and this man wants 250 million? What is going to happen to 6 billion 750 million people? Or 6 billion 700 million people? Well, I'll tell you what they are planning to do. They are planning to kill them. Is that a conspiracy? You know that it isn't. Now, I'm quoting from another top guy called Thomas Ferguson, State Department Office of Population Affairs in America. This is what he wrote. And these things are in the newspapers, by the way. They write these things in the newspapers. But somehow people think it's a joke. But generally, you know, read over them, eschew them, don't pay enough attention to them. But this is what this guy wrote. There is a single theme, I'm quoting now, there's a single theme behind all our work. We must reduce population levels. Either governments do it our way through the nice clean methods, or they will get the kind of mess that we have in El Salvador, or in Iran, or in Beirut. Population is a political problem. Once population is out of control, it requires authoritarian government, even fascism, to reduce it. Our program in El Salvador didn't work because the infrastructure was not there to support it. There were just too goddamn many people. To really reduce population quickly, you have to pull all the males into the fighting that is in wars, and you have to kill significant numbers of fertile female genes. Now, what some of the most fertile people actually reside in Uganda. I think every woman on average, and some of these figures are shocking, gives birth to 6 people on average. Okay? I mean, 6 children, that is really, really, really fertile. And now this is a threat to the Western society. Why? Because they will be outnumbered and they will be overtaken. That's what they are thinking. Because they have ruled the world. But in 20 years, the whites will be a minority in America. They will have been overtaken by, you know, other groups, Latinos, African Americans. Why? Because whites are not giving birth. And African Americans are giving birth. Latinos come and they have big families of 8 people. So now the whites are threatened that in 20 years they will be a minority. Now what are they? Of course, they are not going to let it happen, or at least they are not planning to let it happen. They want to do something about it. And this is true for all the world. So that's why they are saying degenerates should not be let loose to give birth anyhow. So I continue from this man's article. The quickest way to reduce population, he says, is through famine, like in Africa, or through disease, like the Black Death. That man is called Thomas Ferguson, from the State Department of Population Affairs in America. Somebody else said this. This one now is from the Club of Rome, and The First Global Revolution. That's the book. He wrote this in a book called The First Revolution. His name is Alexander King, and he's the founder and secretary of the Club of Rome, one of those evil societies that I mentioned. It's actually a think tank, but thinking towards how to make these evil plans come to pass. He says, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that population, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap of mistaking symptoms for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy then, he concludes, is humanity itself. I'll give you some other quotes here which are of interest from people who really are in positions that matter. Now, this a professor from Stanford called Paul Ulrich, in a publication called The Population Bomb, says a cancer is uncontrolled multiplication of cells. The population explosion is an uncontrolled multiplication of people. We must shift our efforts from the treatment of the symptoms to the cutting of the cancer. The operation will demand many apparently brutal and heartless decisions. Decisions like what? One of them was provided by a man called Jay Costello in 1991, who was the man was an explorer and a UNESCO courier. These are some of the solutions. This is what he said. In order to stabilize the world, we must eliminate 350,000 people every day. He says, it is a horrible thing to say, But it is just as bad not to say it. Because as far as they are concerned, the population is just exploding like a cancer. I believe that human overpopulation is the fundamental problem of Earth today. And we humans have become a disease, which goes ahead to call the human pox. Now, Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the head of the Soviet Union until it collapsed, and who is very, very much at the front of the New World Order, was quoted as saying, we must speak more clearly about sexuality, about contraception, and about abortion, about values that control population, because the ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90%, and there aren't any people left to do a great deal of ecological damage. Now you see what 90%, I mean, cut the people by 90%. How are they going to cut them? By killing them. How are they going to kill them? I'm going to tell you, and you'll be shocked. Now that's Mikhail Gorbachev. These are very important people. Dr. Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State of the United States, one of the most prominent New World Order people, a man who is incredibly evil through and through, through the plans, of course, because these people got their power and authority from the devil. So they carry the heart of the devil. This is what Kissinger says. Depopulation should be the highest priority of foreign policy towards the third world, because the U.S. economy will require large and increasing amounts of minerals from abroad, especially from less developed countries. So, how do you get minerals from Uganda? Just come and kill all the jokers there and take the minerals without any. The same way they do to Congo, you know, subdue people, cause death, cause war, cause everything. Then you can get all the uranium and go and make atomic bombs, and then they cause all these things, and then make sure that those who are alive, you know, tying their trousers up the stomachs and singing Lingala. I mean, just make turn them into jokers who don't understand that they actually have wealth in the soil. Or if they do, they will be working for other people who will take that wealth. But of course, yep. Now, Dr. Henry Kissinger, again, he said power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Now, if you know what the word aphrodisiac means, then you know how evil that statement is. Power is the ultimate aphrodisiac, and the elderly are useless eaters. Now, it's amazing he says this because he's a very old man, but he says elderly are useless eaters. Now, he said earlier on, now these are things which were said when you're Secretary of State in the 1970s. World population needs to be decreased by 50%. Really? Well, people have since moved on to 90%. Now, initiative for the United Nations ECO 1992 Earth Charter. Now, this was done in Brazil. There was the Earth Summit, and one of the things, the United Nations came up with Agenda 21 on how to reduce the world population. And there have been United Nations, World Health Organization, and all those UN organizations have been at the forefront of reducing the population. Now the trouble is when people start thinking that these people are trying to actually spread health, when they are doing everything in their power to spread death. I'll tell you how. This is what they said in the initiative for United Nations ECO 92 Earth Charter. The present vast overpopulation, now far beyond the world carrying capacity, cannot be answered by future reductions in birth rate due to contraception, sterilization, and abortion, but must be met in the present by reduction of numbers already existing. This must be done by whatever means necessary. You listen to that? We are no longer being told to control how many children you have. That is not good enough. The most important thing is to reduce people who are already on Earth, and it must be done by whatever means necessary. That is according to the UN. Okay? Now, so I'll take a few other quotes. I just want you to know how the world leaders think, so that you don't fall into the thing of thinking that World Health Organization has approved a drug, therefore it is very okay. You know, I wish you knew some of the things these people do, but anyway, you're going to know some of them. In South America, this is another quote, the government of Peru goes door to door pressuring women to be sterilized, and they are funded by American tax dollars. Now, this is one guy who was shocking. I mean, because they really want to start in the third world. So, and it's all centered mostly around America. So they go and give money to Peru, and women are being forced to get sterilized so that they cannot give birth. Because, of course, South Americans, I think, are also very fertile people. And Now, this is another guy who actually who authored the Bill of Netherlands, a man called Marco van Dijken. He wrote in the Guardian newspaper in the UK, women in Netherlands who are deemed by the state to be unfit mothers should be sentenced to take contraception for a prescribed period of 2 years. Really? Now, you have to understand that many of the contraceptives that are now on the market are being dumped there, and they ultimately affect the fertility of women who take them for a sustained period of time. I'll give you an example. If somebody is sexually active but doesn't want to give birth, there are some, I'm not saying all, but there are some, and I don't know which ones, so don't ask me, but there are some contraceptives which actually you take and they affect your fertility. So now when you decide that you want to give birth, you find that you are not. Okay? So now because they're encouraging people to get sexually active so early, at an age where nobody wants to really give birth, when you get to a stage where now you want to give birth, many people find that they can't because they were taking a contraceptive, which apparently is very convenient. You don't have to worry, you know, and all that stuff. You don't know what it's doing to your body. But then, of course, that's a story for another day. Now, the Sierra Club is one of the clubs that's like the Club of Rome, think tanks for the New World Order. Now, a guy called David Brower, who was the first executive director of that club, said childbearing should be a punishable crime against society. Unless the parents hold a government license, all potential parents should be required to use contraceptive chemicals, the government issuing antidotes to citizens who are chosen for childbearing. Now, what they are saying is that every woman is given compulsory contraceptive chemicals, which make it impossible for them to give birth. Now, then they choose those whom they consider worthy of giving birth, and they give them an antidote, something to undo what was done so that they can give birth. So that way the government decides who gives birth. Why? So that degenerates are not allowed to produce after their own kind. Now, that's amazing. Of course, they wouldn't give antidotes to people like in Africa. And they wouldn't even tell you that it's forceful contraceptive. They will bring it under something, vaccine or what. And these are things they do, as I'm going to explain to you shortly. They said this principle that sustains compulsory vaccination is broad enough to cover the cutting the fallopian tubes. Really? Okay. Sounds interesting. Frankly, that's from Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of the judges in America who is, you know, very... then this a Supreme Court judge called Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, frankly, I had thought that at the time Roe was decided, there was concern about population growth and particular growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of certain populations. We don't mind having too many of the white, but there are certain populations we don't want to have too many of. Now, a man called John P. Holdren, who is Barack Obama's science like king, who is a co-author of a book called Eco-Science, writes in the book, the planetary regime might be responsible for determining the optimum population for the world and for each region, and for arbitrating various countries' shares within their regional limits. Control of population size might remain the responsibility of each government, but the regime would have some power to enforce the agreed limits. So Uganda, you are supposed to maintain a population of this. Do whatever you have to do. If you have to kill people. This, if you go beyond this, then the politician at the head has to suffer. Now, I've told you this quote before from Prince Philip, who is the Queen Elizabeth's husband, who is the Duke of Edinburgh, and the leader of the World Wildlife Fund. This is what he said. If I were reincarnated, I wish to be returned to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. I mean, think about that. Amazing, amazing. The way somebody says you would love to be reincarnated as a killer virus. And of course, there are so many people who love, you know, get fascinated by the UK, you know, royal family, over what, royal birth and what, you know, very idle people, very idle. If you knew what those people thought about you, you wouldn't waste a minute on them. Anyhow, that's something else. Personally, I have better things to do with my time. Now, I'll tell you this last one. A congressman called Rare P. McDonald said in 1976, and he said, this is what he said, 1976. He said, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining super capitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. He goes on to say, do I mean a conspiracy? Yes, I do. I am convinced that there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent. He was killed in a plane crash not long after that, that congressman called Larry McDonald. So now, I want you to understand that the plan of the New World Order is to reduce the population, especially of third world countries. Why? They want our resources. Two, they would rather Africa is, you know, all of them are attached to wildlife. They want a place where animals can be, okay? So that they stay in their places, then they come when they want to hunt and, you know, see lions and what, they come to Africa. They don't come here to see you and me. They prefer that we are dead and that lions are the ones moving on the streets. Is that really? Is that what they, I'm telling you they do? But now, now that you know what they're after, now let me tell you some of the real things that are going to shock you. Number one, so many people have done research on the origin of AIDS, and most of them who are not part of this conspiracy are totally convinced that it was created by United States, the Department of Defense, in their biological warfare laboratory somewhere in Maryland. Now, the argument against it is very compelling because, first of all, and I've read some of this, and these are scientists, saying that the AIDS virus cannot survive in any other animal apart from human beings. So how could it have come if it cannot be transmitted the first time in any other way? Because that's why a mosquito cannot transmit. I mean, it can take malaria because the malaria virus stays alive in the mosquito. So when it takes the blood from a carrier of malaria, stays alive, then it translates it to somebody else and transmits malaria. Now, it cannot do the same. Even if it's carrying blood from one AIDS victim to the other, it cannot transmit AIDS because the virus immediately dies inside the mosquito. It's only meant to be in a human being. Now, the original story of the origin of AIDS is that it came from green monkeys in the Congo and something like that. But these people have been doing research and I've been reading a lot of it. There's a guy called Larry Johnson. He wrote an article called "Is AIDS Human?" I mean, made by humans. You can go and Google that and see his evidence. It's absolutely compelling. Now, this is what he did. Then he says that actually the pygmies who live where those monkeys are were, until very recently, when prostitutes started going there, for all the first 20 or 25 years of AIDS, the pygmies who live nearest to the monkeys that are alleged to have originated with AIDS were 100% AIDS free. Okay. Somehow it was transmitted in urban centers in sub-Saharan Africa. That's where it first showed up. But that's not all they did. They discovered that the smallpox vaccine, everywhere the smallpox vaccine was administered in sub-Saharan Africa, AIDS broke out within the next 6 months. So this man proved beyond doubt that the World Health Organization put the AIDS vaccine deliberately in the smallpox vaccine. That's not all. He discovered that they actually invented it in America. They tried it out with prisoners. Okay? They gave it to some prisoners who, after 6 months, started wearing away and died soon after. So, man, the Bilderbergs, who are in charge of all these things, we are so excited. Finally, we have a way to reduce world population without war. Or those who are left by war. So when they tried it out with those people, it worked. They said, how do we spread it to populations that we really want to reduce? So World Health Organization comes up with a vaccine. So they come, tell everybody, smallpox vaccine. People go for the vaccines. Then they start falling sick and they die. Then everywhere. Now, it was even written in the Times newspaper in the UK. Because they did a geographical study and they discovered that everywhere the smallpox vaccine was administered in Africa, in certain parts of Africa, it immediately led to an AIDS outbreak. But that's not all. In America, because homosexuals at the time were considered degenerates, they were called for what was a trial of the hepatitis B vaccine. And what do these people do? They went and put adverts for the vaccine in homosexual publications, which were read only by homosexuals, because what would a heterosexual have doing, I mean, be doing reading a homosexual publication? So they put adverts. Those who want to, you know, there's this trial vaccine, hepatitis B, those who take it will be given, I think, $3,000 or what. That was, you know, in the late 70s. So people went there who were homosexuals, and they were interviewed. Now, those homosexuals who said that they have one partner were told to go back home, and they were not involved in the study, and they were very angry. Now, those homosexuals who said they had several partners were retained, and they were given hepatitis B vaccine, and within 6 months of getting it, they started falling sick of HIV. So, how this person asks, how come a heterosexual black sickness is translated into a homosexual white sickness in America? In Africa, it's heterosexual black. In Africa, it's homosexual white. How can that be possible? So, of course, these people dig in and they discover that all these things were done on purpose. Identifying populations that people wanted to get rid of, and using vaccines, which were free, which even people encouraged to go and take them, and then they put in that thing, and most of those people, you know, wasted away and died. Now, after some time, they discovered that AIDS is not working. I told you a quote of a man who was, and now he's talking to a conference in America of world population in Chicago. What does he say? He said AIDS is not working because in Africa, somebody dies of AIDS at the age of 30 and he has produced 20 children. So we are wasting our time. It's not working. We are not going to reduce population through AIDS. Then he also said, and it's taking too long to kill people because the human body eventually starts having a way of fighting it back. Now, when they realize that the human body would eventually, just like flu was, would eventually find a way of kicking off the AIDS virus, then of course they play games. Then they bring, you know, antiretrovirals, ARVs, and then they, you know, they get money that becomes a money-making tool. But in the meantime, they are using, because at the heart of this world conspiracy, I told you, pharmaceutical companies are very involved. Now, in the meantime, they're looking for something else that is going to do the job. They are the ones, definitely, this man, and there's research there that actually proves, they actually, then they go and created Ebola. And this man said in that quote, and I have the quote, when you're staying those people, he said, Ebola is the best way to achieve what we intended with AIDS, because AIDS has failed. So he said, now Ebola is going to be very, because Africans like holding people's hands and what, and all those things. So, and of course it goes into sexuality as well, kissing and, you know, all those things. So they said, look, we are going to use Ebola. He said that. Now eventually then of course you discover Ebola outbreaks all here and what. Then there is this apparently Samaritan doctor who is treating Ebola victims, yet he's actually one of the people at the heart of spreading the virus. Okay? One of their scientists seeing the effect and seeing how best it can be used to reduce populations. Then the guy gets sick, and now you people saw all of this on CNN. When the doctor got sick, he was going to die. They tried to carry him and take him to America for treatment, but they discovered he was not going to reach there. So they gave him a drug, and within 30 minutes, the guy was okay. Now, African presidents asked Obama when they were at the White House for a photo shoot. They asked the president, why can't that drug be given to Africans? And Obama came up with a very unconvincing explanation. It's only a trial drug. We don't use trial drugs on Africans. Excuse me? So an American scientist is of less value to America than Africans. That's why he used a so-called trial drug on him, and he's cured after 30 minutes, totally standing upright. Somebody who was on the deathbed, totally cured. And it was there in front of you on CNN. It is there. You can even go and get it. So what Obama was implying is that Africans are of more value to America than an American scientist of top quality who was going to die. Of course, that's a lie. But they have antidotes. Now, when that thing backfired and the whole plot could have failed, then they started saying Canadian company is donating vaccines to Africa and what. But in the meantime, of course, people are dying, but not enough. Now, they have discovered that not enough people are dying, even with this current Ebola outbreak, because it's less than 3,000 people, I think, who have died so far in West Africa. In spite of all the hullabaloo. Now, remember, 3,000 people, these people want to get rid of 350,000 a day. So now what they have done, now I'm telling you this, it hasn't happened, but you're going to see it. What they have done is they have come up with airborne Ebola. Now the current Ebola, you have to hold somebody's hands, and even then he has to be sweating. There has to be an exchange of fluids, either sweat, you know, urine, excreta, or, you know, saliva, something like that. There has to be an exchange of fluids for somebody to catch Ebola. Now the strain they are coming up with is going to be airborne. You can catch it like flu. Okay? So now that one they have targeted, and it's a very, very bad one, because it eats the body even after the person has died. Even after the person dies, it continues eating away the body until the body becomes something like jelly. Somebody basically vanishes. Now they have come up with it. The question is, where are they going to introduce it? And you will see thousands of people falling dead at the rate that, I mean, they are trying to create the rate that they want. Now I've shown you what they think, and I've shown you what they are planning to reduce the population of the world to 1 billion. The first place they want to do that is the third world, which is where you and I reside. So after that, you will see where they will introduce it, one way or another. Okay? I mean, there are things that are happening there in the name of medicine. So they come and do trial drugs here in the north, then the next thing you know, there is nodding disease. Where did you ever hear nodding disease? It's because people are trying out, and they get people in, internally displaced camps. And they try all sorts of things on them. They tell them, you know, come and retreat you for this. And the trouble is, Africans easily believe that they are these bazungu who are looking out for your good. And what they are not. They are not. Now, I want you to know, the only person who is really on your side is God. And he's the one who is going to stop all this plot from happening. Because God is not going to let them have their way with us. Because unlike them, God takes us seriously. God values us. He does not value anybody above the other. He does not value Obama above the poorest person in some village. He does not. God does not care. As far as he's concerned, we are all the same. We are all people for whom Christ died. Now, that's why we have to believe God, because he's the only one whom we are sure of is on our side. Those people are not. Now I see these programs, they are going to the villages, circumcising people free of charge. You don't know what they are spreading. And by the way, it can't be, they don't have any money to waste that circumcising people, because it reduces the whatever risk of getting HIV. Okay, that might be true, but the point is that, are they really concerned that village people don't get HIV? Who told you they are? They have no money to waste on things like that. They are either spreading evil, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. Now, the trouble is, so many people believe about what clinic funded by, you know, what you said what. And then people go, and you don't know what they are doing, and you don't know the schemes behind all that. You think that those people really care about you. They don't. They don't. They prefer you dead. You are, as far as you're concerned, they are concerned, you're a useless eater. And you're one of the people who are lined up to be first in the queue when they are reducing the world population to 1 billion from 7 billion. That is by 90%. So now you know. Now you know that this, they created it. That's for sure. You go and read that thing. It's a scientific analysis of how AIDS was created. And it is clearly created by humans. Then go and read the same on Ebola. Clearly. Now I'm telling you, now the other day CNN announced that there is going to be a fresh outbreak of Ebola, which is going to be more deadly and what. Who told them that? They know. Because they are planning it. And they are preparing people's minds for what comes ahead. You know, that's ultimate evil. You know, that there's nothing as evil as somebody telling you. For instance, if a thief comes and tells you that I'm coming to your house tomorrow night, and then he warns you, then he comes and actually cleans your house. That is cynicism of the highest order. He's not just a thief. He's trying to show you that he has extreme power over you. And that's what the devil wants, you know? And that's how his people think. So they warn you, there's going to be another outbreak. It was on CNN the other day. There's going to be another outbreak of what? Of Ebola. How do they know that? They know it because they are planning it, and it's going to be there, and this is going to be an airborne Ebola, which moves like flu. You don't have to touch somebody, even if you kubonga and what, it will not save people. Now, I'm not telling you that to alarm you. I'm just telling you so that you know what the New World Order is about. But let us know that God is our protection, and God will not let them have their way. He will not. He will not let them have their way, because he's seeing them and he's seeing their evil, and he values his people. Even those who are not born again, God values them because he created them. And Jesus Christ died for them, whether they acknowledge it or not. So God is not going to let them have their way. But you will see, there will be a start of it. And then it will spread a bit. Now, if those people had had their way, Northern Uganda would be whatever. But somehow, thanks to some local doctors and people who really cared, they jumped up and they contained the Ebola outbreak. Then another one came out. Then there are attempts, and you always they come after some, there's some foreign help on treating something. Then the next thing you know is Ebola. Then some Muzungu doctor stays there, pretending to be a good Samaritan. What? It is just doing studies to see how best to make those things happen, and he's part of the conspiracy. And the moment he gets sick, there will be medicine for him. There will not be medicine for the other people. You just know that at least that one you've seen, you will not say it's a conspiracy because you saw it. It was on CNN. Now, that's how the New World Order, that's what they're planning. Now, God has a plan of his own. Some of the things they're planning will come to pass, not because they're planning them, but because they're prophesied in the Bible. There will be a one world government. There will be a one world religious system. There will be a one world monetary system. And right now, as we speak, there's going to be the greatest, it's coming in a short while, the greatest ingathering of believers in humanity, as the people are going to get saved in amazing numbers as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. Because people think that God is exclusive. He wants to get people by surprise when they don't know. I'm telling you this. God is inclusive. He wants as many people as possible to be involved. That's why he sends people to warn people. Then as we get closer and closer, there will even be more voices telling people, he's coming, because he doesn't want anybody to be left out who would make the decision. Now, those people who end up in perdition will have decided deliberately to disbelieve the message of God. They will, it's not be that they are taken by surprise, or they will have deliberately decided to disbelieve the message of God. Or they will disbelieve it long enough for them to catch a lie. And remember, the Lord said that when you hear the truth very long and you refuse to believe it, eventually he sends you a delusion so that you believe a lie. And then when you believe a lie, it becomes truth for you. You start taking it on. I've seen so many people who have already believed lies. And what? Now, the other day I was telling you here about the homosexual debate and everything, how it's not ending at homosexuality. People thought I was kidding. Now, a court in Germany, or rather a committee in Germany, has recommended that they remove the law that prohibits incest. And they said people should have the right to marry their sisters, immediate sisters, same father, same mother. And they give examples. I mean, it's their human right and what. Now, people who have caught, all these fools who have caught on this argument of, people have a right to love who they want. The next target the devil is throwing them is to promote incest. The next thing they will be telling us that it's okay for you to marry your sister. Then the next thing, it's okay for you to have sex with animals. Why? Because the devil wants to turn, and that lady wrote it in that book, Alice Bailey. It's on our Facebook page. If you've not read what she wrote, you go to our Facebook page. It's right there. How to turn society upside down. And everything that has a sense of godliness is turned upside down so that people are doing things, out of total rebellion to God. Okay? That's precisely what the devil wants. Now, people, of course, who have nothing to do, who are educated, have gone to for masters in the UK and what, come back, say, human rights. People are right, have a right to, you're homophobic and what. You wait. The next thing they will be saying is, you're what? You're incestphobic. Eh? Then the next thing after that, because the devil gives bit by bit. Now after homosexual has been whatever, and all stupid people in Uganda have joined the thing of human rights, the next human right will be the right to sleep to marry your sister. Then the next human right, the right to sleep with animals. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Now in Germany it has started. They are going to lift the law prohibiting incest. Then, and what is their argument? We cannot use a law to enforce social, something like a social norm, as in this, it's just a social thing, a social taboo. A social taboo cannot be enforced using the law. People have a right, the same words that people are talking about. So, that's where it's going. Now, anyhow, there are some people who have been sending me material on through through Facebook, some through Gmail, of things they have read which are in this line, and I really, really appreciate that. because sometimes I miss out on so many things. And if you know, a listener of this program, a brother, sees it, like that incest thing was sent to me by somebody called Alan Paul, and I really appreciate it because I'd missed it about that German thing. Now, if somebody sees something that is of interest and that you'd like to share with other people through a platform, feel free to send me an email and ask me, have you read this? You can read it, give me a link, and so that we continue to educate people together. The email address is UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. Of course, people have been asking, who are you? Who are you? Tell us who you are. Now you know who I am. The email address is UgandanWatchman@gmail. Use it, please. And keep on the lookout. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, okay? If you are a partner, remember to be consistent. That is the key to the success that you want. That's the key to the increase that you want. Be consistent. Don't just give once and then like get bored after the once or twice. People who do that don't get the increase. People who are consistent get the increase. And then when they see the increase, then they have more motivation to be consistent. So that's it for today. I think we finished kind of with the new world order. I promised to tell you the thing about intellectual and emotional arguments, just so that you know them. It's very important for you. I will do that the next program, but I have to end here. Thank you so much for listening to me.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.